It's hard to find in the morning papers. It's hard to find in the magazines. It doesn't matter what show you tune in. It's hard to find on TV screen, but it's on talk radio. Truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Well, double talk is all you get, and you wanna hear it straight. There's a place to find all the answers. AM, FM, shortwave, talk radio. The truth is on talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Talk radio. The truth is on talk radio.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Hour two of the National Intel Report. I've got Edwin Vieira. As soon as he finds a spot alongside the highway, he will be calling in. He's traveling with his sons. But we're going to be talking about the Supreme Court decision today. And, folks, it's a hoot. And I've been hearing, I have not had time to watch the television, but I've been seeing reports. I almost fell off the chair this morning watching CNN. One of their talking heads says, well, you know, I can see, you know, well, people would feel that their rights are being violated if they couldn't protect themselves. I went, boy, I can almost guarantee you this guy's contract is not going to be renewed. But then, almost on cue, came out the sob stories of the gun victims out there and how one guy, well, he was shot, and, well, he's paraplegic now. And I'm watching this, and I'm going, you know, how about a story about how many times firearms have saved people's lives? What you hear is the death. Oh, and in Washington, D.C., their big deal was, hey, you know, well, we've got all these guns, all these criminals, all these drug dealers shooting people and everything. Okay, well, it doesn't seem to me the guns are the problem. It seems the criminals are the problem and the drugs are the problem. And it was very interesting that one lady, she said, look, she said, with violence going on like that, I want to be able to protect myself. And I've always told people, firearms ownership, that's a good thing, because you know when the police arrive, if you are in real mortal danger, forget being mortal anymore. They show up somewhere between death and rigor mortis. And that's true in a lot of instances. I mean, if self-protection is such a bad thing, why do cops carry guns? Why don't they just carry their tasers and mace? You know, but they never talk about those issues. And the gun grabbers, and here's a word of caution about this, these gun grabbers are not going to quit. A disarmed society is a victim society waiting to be preyed upon, and I don't care from what quarter it comes from. And I think the founding fathers were clear on this issue about aggression against the individual to protect his freedom and his liberty and his property. And apparently it's coming from our own government, or government, city, county, state, whatever. There's been a whole lot of restrictions put on a whole lot of everything, and this doesn't stop the background checks or anything else. Okay, so, you know, there's still a ways to go. I heard Wayne LaPierre saying today that, well, you know, we got gun cases in California and Chicago, and they're restrictive, and, you know. But I wonder why they didn't fund the case for D.C. That was an individual security guy that filed the case. At any rate, we'll be back. Edwin Vieira will be calling in shortly. We'll be right back, folks.
Once upon a time, Megan, people bought their food at a grocery store.
Oh,
I remember.
They're there, Mama.
A grocery store, Dad?
Yes, dear, but that was long ago.
But where did our food come from?
InternetGrocer.net.
InternetGrocer.net? So all these cans?
In uncertain times, we must be prepared. So we buy real canned meats, real canned cheese, and real canned butter from InternetGrocer.net.
Mm. And it's real good, Dad.
Only the highest quality dehydrated and freeze-dried foods and other emergency supplies. Drop shipped direct from the manufacturers right to our door.
So having stored food on hand means we don't have to go into town, right?
Your father's a wise man, Megan.
Be ready for an emergency with InternetGrocer.net's one-year food supply, featuring the best variety in the business. Foods that will store 7 to 15 years or longer, unopened. Go to internet-grocer.net. That's internet-grocer.net or call 903-356-6443.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion. Do you ever forget names or where you left your glasses? Christine also realized she didn't remember like she used to.
I'm forgetting where things are occasionally, or I go into a room and I'm wondering, now, why am I here?
She often forgot and misplaced things like her keys.
I would spend so much time looking for things like that, and I just would assume that that was just a part of aging.
Then she discovered Prevagen, special proteins in our brain responsible for keeping cells alive that control learning and memory are depleted with age. Now there's a new option to replace these proteins, Prevagen. If your ability to remember is fading with time, try all natural Prevagen, PrevaGen.com. That's Prevagen.com.
And I find that in my business, I'm able to focus on the tasks at hand.
To find out how to get a free bottle of Prevagen, call 888-814-0814.
And so I'm not as forgetful, and it's really helping me that way.
Call 888-814-0814.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
Strange that the D.C. deal, it's over too many drugs on the street, too many people killing each other. Well, the Sun Sentinel and these stories. Every day in a newspaper across this country, somebody is being victimized, well, by criminals with guns? How about overzealous drug war claiming another casualty? This comes out of the, as I said, the Sun Sentinel. The question isn't whether the Pembroke Pines police officer was justified in fatally shooting Vincent Hodgkiss in his home early Thursday morning, or whether illegal drug activity was actually taking place there. The real question is this. Was a paramilitary-style raid the best way to go about serving a drug-related search warrant? The deputy police chief, David Gold, defended the use of the special response team, Pembroke Pines' version of Special Weapons and Tactics, or SWAT, to carry out the 6:30 a.m. raid that left Mr. Hodgkiss, 46, deader than a doornail. We use SRT to serve all narcotics warrants, Galt said Friday. You never know what you're going to encounter. Now, in this case, it was a middle-aged guy with a concealed weapons permit, but no record of violent crime encountered his demise in his home of 14 years. Jack Cole, former New Jersey narcotics detective, who now heads up a drug law reform group, he's questioning the use of SWAT raids for drug searches. He said too often they lead to tragic consequences for police, bystanders and suspects, he says, especially in the days and dark and confusion of dawn. Cole said, I never thought this was smart policing. Executive Director of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, it's better to use stealth and imagination. Wait until you get people out of the house. And, you know, folks, I've said this before. Whatever happened to the detectives? This is what they used to do. They used to detect. Is there crime going on? Is there illegal drug use, a chop shop going on, prostitution rings, whatever? They would investigate to see if there was evidence, and on presentment of that evidence to a judge, they would get an arrest warrant. They would wait you out, arrest you, and voila. Well, not anymore. But at any rate, we've seen this tragic outcome before August 2005. Cole says this is just insanity. And I've said the same thing. Paramilitary style, kick open the door, get down, you bleepity bleep, and killing anything that moves if they feel threatened. This is not the way to conduct policing in this country. So there are people that are aware of this and are working to reform it. Yeah, let's get the military goons out of kicking the doors down. I have with me Edwin Vieira. Edwin, can you hear me, sir?
Yes, I can.
I appreciate you coming on the program. I know that you're en route. You're traveling. But this was an important thing. I was going to get Larry Pratt on today or Aaron Zellman from Gun Owners of America, but this is a constitutional issue, and you're a constitutional expert. And I do appreciate you coming on the program.
Well, you're welcome.
Now, as a lot of people surmised, if this thing was going to go down, it was going to be split on the 5-4 decision. And, well, the conservatives voted for the individual right to keep and bear that nasty little handgun. And, of course, Ginsburg and the other liberals, and I don't know how this happens, Edwin, putting politics or personal preferences into reading what the Constitution says. I don't know how they do this, but folks, this comes out of the District of Columbia law that bans handgun possession by making it a crime to carry an unregistered firearm and prohibiting the registration of handguns. Provides separately that no person may carry an unlicensed firearm, and what you had to do, Edwin, is apply for that one-year license. Of course, you were denied by the police department. And this respondent, Mr. Heller, had to sue and take these people to court and then eventually get it up to the Supreme Court. He was a special policeman, applied to register for the handgun he wished to keep at home, but that district refused. He filed the suit, seeking on the Second Amendment grounds to enjoin the city from enforcing the bar on handgun registration. Now, the district courts dismissed the suit, but the D.C. Court of Appeals, or I'm sorry, D.C. Circuit, reversed it, holding that Second Amendment protects an individual's right to possess firearms. And, Edwin, what's really strange about this is the restrictions. If you did have a handgun, you had to have either a trigger lock or it broken down so it was inoperable.
Well, that's correct. That was kind of a fillip that was in that law to make it even more oppressive, because obviously a firearm that's broken down, trigger locks of some types can be removed without a tremendous amount of difficulty, but in a crisis situation, people don't tend to have very good reflexes, and obviously if you have to put the firearm together, because it's broken down into component parts, it makes it almost unusable in the type of situation that would involve self-defense against a criminal attack. Now, the thing about this D.C. Case is that it doesn't actually cover the right to bear arms. It has nothing whatsoever to say about whether someone can carry a firearm on the streets of the District of Columbia or into any particular buildings in the District of Columbia other than the home. It really is limited to Heller's request to the Supreme Court that he be given a permit to keep that pistol in an operative condition in his home, primarily for the purpose of personal self-defense. So there's actually not as sweeping a result out of that decision as some people may think, and also it certainly doesn't cover the questions of whether people have to go down and register themselves or register the guns with the police. And the permit might have to be issued if they weren't disqualified individuals.
Funny you should say that, because the chief of police today said that, well, we're going to make available a program for people to come down and register their handguns. And by the way, this law that we put in, this ban for 32 years, is going to stay in effect for the next 21 days. So you're right. There's the loopholes here. And Edwin, I've always asked the question. I'm my own property. On loan from God, of course, but I'm my own property. Property is not necessarily bricks and mortar. I am my own personal property, and I have the right to protect that property wherever this property goes? And they're trying to tell us, well, except we're prohibited by law, or some codified statute or something that some city wants to do to curb gun violence.
Well, you have to distinguish between the right of self-defense and the right of self-defense with a particular instrument or implement. I don't think there's any way in this country that you could deny individuals the right of self-defense. But the question then arises, well, do you have a right of self-defense with a firearm or with a particular type of firearm, handgun, rifle, shotgun, whatever it may be? So that's the distinction in the case. In the sense of what Heller was arguing, it kind of overlaps, because he's saying this was the purpose for which I wanted this handgun. And I suppose that would be the purpose for which most people would keep a handgun at home, would be personal self-defense. But you can certainly imagine a legal system which would say, yes, you have a right of self-defense, but you don't have a right to use a flamethrower for that purpose.
Sure.
Or you don't have a right to use a handgun. Now, our Constitution has the Second Amendment, which protects the right of the people to keep and bear arms. So we have that limitation on governmental authority right there. And as a result of that, you end up with the Heller argument having been accepted by the conservatives. You know, the problem with this case is a 5-4 decision.
Mm-hmm.
And if Kennedy, for instance, there's some indications that Kennedy may be interested in retiring, and he was the fifth vote. And he is sort of a swing vote. Sometimes he comes out on the constitutionalist side. Sometimes he comes out on the liberal activist side. Pretty much depends upon, apparently, on which side of the bed he gets up on in the morning, as far as I can tell. What if he leaves and Obama is president, and now he appoints another Ruth Bader Ginsburg-type justice or Stephen Breyer-type justice, the fellow who wrote one of the dissents in this Heller case? Well, you could have another case come up in a 5-4 decision the other way, and don't think that couldn't happen. There were three very famous cases, Maryland versus Wirtz, National League of Cities versus Ussery, and another one, San Diego Transportation Authority versus, I can't remember who, in which the court flip-flopped three different times on the same issue as the composition of the court changed within a few years. So these things definitely do happen, and this is a very politically charged issue. So we very well might see the possibility that with a change in composition of the Supreme Court, if there were an Obama presidency, that this issue could come back up and a different result would come out. And that's one of the things that made me a little leery of the way it was argued and the way it was decided. That, you know, the constitutional language in the Second Amendment is a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And what that clearly means, if you understand the history of the times, what that clearly means is the right to keep and bear arms, whatever it is, it has to be an activity that is conducive to a well-regulated militia. And the purpose of that whole operation is the security of a free state. And if you think about self-defense in the individual case, well, basically, I suppose every individual case of self-defense contributes a certain amount to the security of our lives, because it tends to deter crime or punish criminals when they're acting out their assault.
Yeah.
But the concept of the militia is an organized group of people who have legal authority to take certain kinds of action, and they're armed and trained. And that was what the Founding Fathers had in mind for this right to keep and bear arms. The history of the militia structures, the well-regulated militias, were that every able-bodied man, and today it would be women because of the emancipation of women as well, were required to have a gun in their homes at all times. This wasn't something that you could opt out of. even conscientious objectors, they might opt out of having a gun if they had other things they were required to do to make up for that.
Okay, Edwin, we've got to take this break. Edwin Vieira is with us by special invitation. I appreciate him coming on. As I said, he's en route. He's taking some time out of his trip here to be with us today. We'll take the short break. We'll be right back.
Listening to RBN has helped you to prepare for an emergency and invest in the gold and silver markets, but now you'd like help managing your other investments. Would you prefer personalized investment advice? Onesti Investment Advisors can help. Onesti Investment Advisors will customize a portfolio with no conflicts of interest. Onesti Investment Advisors is a fee-based firm. We do no underwriting and receive no commission, so we always look after your interest. The better you do, the better we do. Get diversification by investing in stocks, bonds, mutual funds, ETFs, and more. Onesti Investment Advisors can help fund education, plan for retirement, lower your taxes, increase retirement income, and protect against a falling dollar. You've worked hard for your assets. Former floor trader and certified financial planner certificate, John Onesti, has the experience to help grow your investments. If you're looking to improve your investment results, call or email for a free consultation. Onesti Investment Advisors, 505-296-2453. That's 505-296-2453. Click on our banner ad on RBN or visit our website at onestiadvisors.com. Onesti Investment Advisors, looking after your investments.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The Supreme Court of the United States blog, that's SCOTUS blog, S-C-O-T-U-S-B-L-O-G, is where you can go to download the complete opinion. I printed this thing out. It's about 150 pages long. I've been going through this thing, and they even put a note on the website. It says, thanks for visiting. They say that we're clearing 300,000 hits today from more than 100,000 unique visitors by our computer. They thought the figure is a little deceiving. They've never exceeded 100,000 hits in a day. And today's numbers is actually lowered by the fact that we had the live blog up, so thankfully our servers and readers didn't have to refresh to peak on the peak period of use around 10 a.m. Eastern. And there was a lot of interest in this case, Edwin, and I'll tell you what, we're going to post this in PDF format for you folks tomorrow. It'll be on the website, so you can download it and read it for yourself. Now, Edwin, As you say, I mean, this is not the end-all, be-all.
Oh, no.
Some people are claiming, well, yes, this reaffirms the fact, and when was the last time they heard anything on gun issues? I think it was back in the 30s.
1937.
37.
Yeah, 1939.
Yeah. And this is not the end-all, be-all.
Oh, no.
And the way this thing has been written out, you know, with the commas where it is and what is the militia, you know, the subject had come up about the organized and unorganized militia. Well, going back to the constitutional legislation in the United States in 1891 was written by J. Ordineau, and he said, "The right to bear arms has always been the distinctive privilege of free men. Aside from any necessity of self-protection to the person, it represents, among all nations, power coupled with the exercise of certain jurisdiction. It was not necessary that the right to bear arms should be granted in the Constitution, for it had always existed."
Well, if you go back in colonial history, or English history, whether it had always existed, I don't know how far back you want to go, I suppose. But clearly in colonial history, the militia was a structure that existed in every one of the colonies. And the basic principle of the militia, or two basic principles, was that every able-bodied citizen, because the slaves were excluded, of course, every able-bodied citizen from 16 to approximately 60 was required to possess a militia firearm, that is, a firearm that was useful for militia purposes.
Mm-hmm.
And that was then constitutionalized. We have not simply the Second Amendment, but there are provisions in the first article of the Constitution dealing with congressional powers, second article of the Constitution dealing with presidential powers that refer to the militia, or the militia of the several states is the correct constitutional terminology. And it's referring to this concept of the armed citizenry. And the Second Amendment is put in there as essentially a capstone to a structure that's already in existence in the original Constitution. And the problem with this Heller case, as I see as a practical matter, is if they had discussed it from the militia point of view, a lot of the language that apparently is in there, and I haven't read all the details of Scalia's opinion, but this concept of reasonable regulation would not raise the difficulties that I see it raising. The reasonable regulation of the right to possess arms is the regulation the Constitution requires through this militia concept. Everybody has to have a gun. It's not a matter of whether you want one or not. You have to have one. And Congress or the states may provide one to you, or they may, as in the colonial period, if the people were too poor to buy a gun, the local jurisdictions would buy them the gun. Or Congress could specify that the states could specify the caliber of your gun has to be such and such, 30 caliber or whatever. At least one gun has to be of that caliber. So there are some regulations of that nature which are constitutionalized because of the concept of the militia. But what I'm worried about here is, and we're already seeing it, the opponents of this decision are already talking about how, notwithstanding what's been said about the individual right, there is language in the opinion that talks about reasonable regulation and, what can these regulations be? They're already trying to find out ways to get around the basic thrust of the opinion,
right,
with a series of, and I heard one coming through the New York area. On a talk show, this fellow, he was from one of the gun control organizations, said, well, now that the gun owners realize that their ultimate right to possess a gun is not in jeopardy, once they're not concerned about having their guns confiscated, now we can all agree to have reasonable regulation because they won't be as afraid as they were. They won't fight against all these regulations that we were proposing because they were afraid that they would lead to confiscation. Well, what that's telling me is the gun control people are saying, now we're going to put all the gun people asleep because they'll figure, well, their rights are protected. And we will put in so many kinds of restrictive regulations that, in fact, we'll end up perhaps with more gun control as a practical matter than we have now. And this thing is going to go on for years because one of these Supreme Court opinions comes out, you'll have further litigation or you'll have legislation in response to it at the local level or state level. And my view of the federal courts, the lower federal courts, district courts and most of the courts of appeals, other than the Fifth Circuit and the D.C. Circuit in the Heller case, have all shown a real hostility to private ownership of firearms. I think you'll see those courts attempting to narrow the effect of this Supreme Court opinion as further cases come up.
When we get back, I want to read you what Breyer and his dissenting opinion said about this, and you just nailed it by talking about, further possible litigation.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be right back, folks.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Most of mankind's diseases have now been conquered. This medical breakthrough can save your life or the life of a loved one. Please listen. The answer to AIDS, hepatitis A, B, and C, malaria, herpes, TB, most cancers, and many more of mankind's worst diseases has been found. Details of this amazing secret has been freely disclosed in Jim Humble's book, The Miracle Mineral Supplement of the 21st Century, available at miraclemineral.org. Read how, in five countries of Africa, over 75,000 cases of malaria and other diseases were successfully treated with this new mineral supplement. Learn more at miraclemineral.org. It also works with cold, flu, pneumonia, sore throats, warts, mouth sores, and even abscessed teeth. Download part one of this amazing book free at miraclemineral.org. Then, if you're satisfied, purchase part two for only $9.95 or the hard copy for only $19.95. Please enter RBN when prompted on where you heard about miraclemineral.org.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Life Change Tea is restoring America's health. Want to lose weight? Want to lower blood sugar levels? Want to have more energy? Do you not believe what I'm saying? Then read the testimonies. Go to the website GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Or call us and get started today. The phone number is 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Operators are standing by. For about a dollar a day, you can change your health, change your weight, and change your life. Again, online orders, GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com or order by phone. 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. Life Change Tea is formulated by Dr. William W. Miller, Ph.D. Life Change Tea, changing America's health, one tea bag at a time.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the Real Talk Radio Show.
Edwin, the Breyer, of course, he was one of the dissenting Supreme Court justices, along with Stevens, Souter, and Ginsburg. He says that we must decide whether a District of Columbia law that prohibits the possession of a handgun in the home violates the Second Amendment. The majority, relying upon its view that the Second Amendment seeks to protect a right of personal self-defense, holds that this law violates the amendment. In my view, it does not. The majority's conclusion is wrong for two independent reasons. The first reason is they set forth by Justice Stevens, namely that the Second Amendment protects militia-related, not self-defense-related interests. These two interests are sometimes intertwined. To assure 18th century citizens that they could keep arms for militia purposes.
Yeah, but stop right there.
Yes.
Just stop right there. Because I know that Stevens also made this, attempted to make this distinction in the oral argument, as I recall, in the case. Self-defense is different from the keeping of arms. Self-defense I can perform with a chair, with my fist, with a bottle, right, with any implement. The question is not whether the Second Amendment grants a right or protects a right to keep a gun for self-defense. It protects a right to keep a gun, That's the militia point. That's why I'm so worried about this Scalia opinion not having focus on the militia point, because the militia point, as I said earlier, was that the basic principle of a militia structure was every citizen had to have a gun. All right? Now, obviously, if I have a gun, if I have this right to have a gun, then if a self-defense situation comes up, that gun might very well be an appropriate tool or implement for me to use in self-defense. Right?
Right.
Okay? So it's not, I'm not coming at this from the point of view of self-defense gives me a right to have a gun. It's my right to have a gun enables me to exercise self-defense with a gun. Completely different situation.
Mm-hmm.
Stevens is living in, a, in his typical dream world. All right? Breyer, of course, is a fellow who I would call a sociological, he engaged in sociological jurisprudence. That is, he kind of looks at what he considers to be the policy goal or desirable outcome, and then he rewrites the Constitution to fit that in his own mind. As you notice, the way he used that, in the majority's view, as opposed to his view.
Right, right.
The views are unimportant. This is a matter of history and legal logic and putting yourself back into the late 1700s and saying, what did these words mean? It's not my view that the militia concept has these principles. I have read every militia statute in every one of the colonies from the early 1600s to the War of Independence, and every one of those statutes in every one of those colonies is based on this principle. It's not my view. It's a historical fact. And if Stevens and Breyer, or those other two, Ginsburg and Souter, have a different view, their view is simply wrong. Now, see, this is our problem. The Supreme Court has gotten to the point at which it's a matter of personalities. If we get this five, we get one result. If we get a different five, we get a different result. Well, the Constitution is not a chameleon. It doesn't change its coloration, and it certainly doesn't change its content, depending on which five people happen to be sitting there.
Or,
but this is the way the Breyers and the Stevens of the world think.
Well, and Breyer goes on to say, in summation, he said, and directly pertaining to what you just said, the argument about method, you know, whether it be a chair or a bottle or a handgun, he said, however, is far the less important argument surrounding today's decision. Far more important are the unfortunate consequences that today's decision is likely to spawn. Not at least of these, as I have said, is the fact that the decision threatens to throw into doubt the constitutionality of gun laws throughout the United States. I find no sound legal basis for launching the courts on so formidable and potentially dangerous mission. In my view, there is simply... there simply is no untouchable constitutional right guaranteed by the Second Amendment to keep loaded handguns in the house in a crime-ridden urban area.
Now, this guy didn't pass Logic 101. What is the argument he's making there? We have these gun laws, and this opinion may throw them into doubt. Well, if the gun laws are unconstitutional, they should be thrown into doubt. It's not the gun laws that are the consequential part of this. It's the Constitution. They may have been passing gun laws for the past 100 years, every one of them unconstitutional. You see my point?
I see your point.
He's turning the whole thing upside down. I say, oh, we have this structure over here, and we can't challenge this. But the whole point of the Constitution is that you can't have certain kinds of structures. I mean, we had racial segregation. Right? That went on for a heck of a lot longer than the gun laws in this country. At least the gun laws that we're talking about, you know, the modern gun control laws. Well, would anyone say, well, we had racial segregation, therefore the Constitution can't, you know, we can't allow the Constitution to set it aside? Have we lost our minds here?
Well, and he goes on to say about the district and the reasons for adopting it. He said, for these reasons, I conclude that the district's measure is a proportionate, not a disproportionate response to the compelling concerns that led the district to adopt it.
Okay.
And for those reasons, as well as the independently sufficient reasons set forth by Stevens, I would find the district's measure consistent with the Second Amendment's demands.
Yeah, you see the magic language, the compelling reasons.
Yeah.
This is not disproportionate. Go search the Constitution and see if you can find those words. There is no compelling reason power in the Constitution that says government can do whatever some politician says is a compelling reason. There's no such power. This is magic language. This is the level of sorcery that we're dealing with the Breyers of the world. they come up with this meaningless terminology, meaningless at least in the sense that has no constitutional referent. And then they supplant the real constitutional words with this meaningless magic language and say, ah, this statute meets our magic language, therefore the Second Amendment can't outlaw it. But which is the thing that's real? It's the Constitution, not the magic language. Find me the magic language in the Constitution, then I'll listen to Mr. Breyer, Justice Breyer.
Well, and also in the opinion of the court, and you're going to love this one, in sum, we hold that the district's ban on handgun possession in the home violates the Second Amendment, as does its prohibition against rendering any lawful firearm in the home operable for the purpose of immediate self-defense, assuming that Heller, and here's more legalese, is not disqualified from the exercise of the Second Amendment rights, you know, except we're prohibited by law or statute or anybody
right,
else's opinion. They say the district must permit him to register his handgun and must issue him a license to carry it in his home.
Okay, see, there you go. You've already circumscribed this victory with limitations. And you notice one thing that's fascinating to me about all of this is, if you go to buy a handgun today in those jurisdictions where you can buy them, you run across the federal BATF, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, yellow sheet, prohibited persons list. And one of the prohibited person, or one of the categories of prohibited persons, people who have mental disease or defect in a mental institution. And I think if you run down that list, there are a number of others, dishonorably discharged from the armed forces, subject to restraining order, there's a bunch of these.
Right.
What you're going to see the gun control people doing now is focusing, I think, on the mental illness category. Oh, are you someone that takes antidepressant drugs? Are you someone who's ever been under the care of a psychiatrist? They're going to run down that list and attempt to expand the disqualification list. So, yes, there will be an individual right to own a handgun and keep it in your home, unless you're a disqualified person, and lo and behold, that disqualification list is going to become larger and larger. One of the things they've done most recently is to expand that, or try to expand that disqualification list to these people coming back from the Middle East and the armed forces with post-traumatic stress disorder. Right? These soldiers who have been in combat and shot at and, you know, bombed or whatever has been going on, all these horrendous situations they find themselves in, and they come back with post-traumatic stress disorder, which apparently is a fairly widespread, at least in, at some level, fairly widespread matter. And they're trying to argue, the gun control people are trying to argue, that this should be the basis for having these people disqualified from having firearms at all. Not just handguns, but at all. That's what you're talking about, people who served in the armed forces.
You know, this is fascinating to me because you're absolutely correct here. When they said that they were going to hear the Second Amendment case, I heard the term reasonableness and, you know, in special circumstance. And
and
the things that you just described, the limitations and constantly chewing away. I'll tell you, and how the news covered this, they were just, at first they were reporting just the justice's findings. And, yes, it was a 5-4 decision. And one of them, probably their contract will not be renewed, said that, you know, I find it fascinating that, you know, that it took a Supreme Court ruling to say that a person has the right to defend themselves. He said, I just find that mystifying that that's even a question. Now, I can almost guarantee you that guy's contract. But then as the day wore on and the Spinmeisters, Edwin, got involved, they were bringing up the Virginia Tech and some student that got shot and has a bullet, part of a bullet lodged in the base of her skull. She's still functional. Come out and said, well, you know, me having a handgun on that campus that day would not have saved my life.
How does she know that?
Well, no kidding. And what I always say about gun control is hitting exactly what you're aiming at. So am I to believe by the inference of that story that I don't have a handgun and that I could not have brought down an attacker that killed many people, that I was safer not having the gun when a maniac and a criminal had a gun? And,
that's right. And you might not have, but the likelihood is if you had it, you would at least have had some chance.
Well, let me ask you a question. Are you going to take a knife to a gunfight or go to a gunfight with no defense at all?
Well, I teach this stuff, so yeah. You can imagine what the answer would have to be.
I already know. Hey, like any good lawyer, you know, you ask the question, you already know the answer before you ask the question.
That's right. But, you know, the gun control people are fascinating because they don't realize that in this, or they refuse to admit that in this country, there are more armed confrontations involving civilians than involving police. That is a fact. And there is a tremendous number of armed confrontations in which a shot is never fired. It's the mere presentation of the gun that causes the assailant to turn tail and run.
That's right.
Or to surrender, throw his hands up.
Have you noticed one thing, Edwin, that the people that have been going out and getting their handgun carry permits, there has been less incident of carjackings because now the criminal doesn't know who's got a gun and who doesn't.
Yeah, that's right. And in that mall parking lot late at night, granny's coming out, the old woman is coming out. Does she have $500 in the purse or a Smith & Wesson 38?
That's right.
You know, that's an interesting question for the mugger to consider. And the other point here is if you look at the proliferation of concealed carry permits, which, of course, is not an issue in Heller, but it goes to this point that we're discussing, throughout the country, you've seen, number one, a drop in crime generally, but you certainly have never seen, anywhere in the country that I know of, the Wild West shoot-em-out fears that the gun control people said would be realized if lots of folks were allowed to carry guns on the streets. It's been just the opposite. In fact, what tends to happen is when a person is carrying a gun, he tends to be a lot more prudent in his behavior.
Absolutely, because there is a responsibility, a personal responsibility that on a moment's notice, if you have to rely on the service of that gun for self-protection, you've already gone through the mental steps that it's going to take in order to bring that arm to bear in self-protection. And this is a responsibility. And here's what's going on is we're being taken away from in any given turn the responsibility of our own lives, even to the point of protecting our own lives. And Edwin, I gotta tell you, the statistics are coming out from Australia, they're coming from England. That violent crimes are up with all the money that they've spent rounding up all the firearms and everything else. They're discovering now, guess what? The criminals don't obey the laws. That's why they are criminals. And guns are still being used in the commission of robberies.
Oh, of course.
But who is defenseless? Oh, that's right. The person that couldn't be responsible for themselves, their own property, and in that particular instant where you find yourself in grave jeopardy. We're talking maybe death here, folks, that you don't have the right to protect yourself. This whole thing is ludicrous.
Well, that's the one great advantage of this opinion now. It has cut the ground, at least for the time being, it has cut the ground out from under the basic gun control argument that somehow or other only the government could decide in the final analysis who could have a gun. All right, that's gone, as I say, for the time being. It's only a 5-4 opinion, so we have to see what happens in the future. But that's gone, and now the gun control people are going to have to take a different tack. I assume they will, but on the other hand, of course, now the momentum or the impetus has shifted to the side of the pro-gun people, because now really the presumption has changed in the legal mind, if you will, that now a gun control law that impinges on a person's right to possess and use a firearm, at least in his own home, the presumption is that that's invalid, whereas in the past, in most jurisdictions, the presumption was that it was at least arguably valid. Now it's invalid, end of discussion. And so if they want to pass some kind of law under the guise of a reasonable regulation or a compelling interest or whatever, they're going to have to come up with some very, very strong arguments. And I think politically, too, they're going to have to come up with strong arguments even in a legislature or a city council or what have you, wherever these jurisdictions might attempt to pass enabling legislation to do this.
Well,
so this decision is going to have a good effect on, you know, immediately, but don't think for one moment that the gun control forces are not working as we speak to figure out how to undermine it.
Well, and as lawyers that are hired, lawyers from firms that are hired to do a job, that's what they're going to do. They're going to try to find any nook and cranny that they can to whittle away at this. And as if they haven't, as we've demonstrated here, as if they haven't whittled it away enough, Edwin, and all the restrictions. Take, for instance, you go to your local Stop and Rob, okay, your local overnight store. How many of the cameras that we have seen filming robberies, people sticking guns in people's faces, if I'm in that Stop and Rob at 1 o'clock in the morning and a robber comes in with a gun, with intent, and a lot of times they just shoot the person because they don't want any witnesses. They're too stupid to understand that they're being videotaped.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm standing in that store, and I'm also one of those witnesses. What am I going to do, throw a gallon of milk at him?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, this whole thing is absolutely ludicrous. Tell you what, let me take a couple of quick phone calls. Ray in Oregon, I ask you to be brief, sir, if you will.
Will do. I perceive that the decision made by the Supreme Court today is moot. And it's moot for this reason. The language involved talks about persons, not people or not living, breathing, flesh and blood men or women. Now, all legislation deals with policies of the corporate structure that regulate the actions of its subjects. And a living, breathing, flesh and blood, sentient, natural man is not a subject to the corporation. They are the creator of the government, the masters of the government. The government, with its limited jurisdiction, does not have jurisdiction over them.
Okay, hold. We got a break here. We only have a couple minutes left here. Let's get Edwin Vieira's response to that right after this break. We appreciate this man coming up today on short notice.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Once upon a time, Megan, people bought their food at a grocery store.
Oh, I remember.
They're there, Mama.
A grocery store, Dad?
Yes, dear, but that was long ago.
But where did our food come from?
InternetGrocer.net.
InternetGrocer.net? So all these cans?
In uncertain times, we must be prepared. So we buy real canned meats, real canned cheese, and real canned butter from InternetGrocer.net.
Mm. And it's real good, Dad.
Only the highest quality dehydrated and freeze-dried foods and other emergency supplies. Drop shipped direct from the manufacturers right to our door.
So having stored food on hand means we don't have to go into town, right?
Your father's a wise man, Megan.
Be ready for an emergency with InternetGrocer.net's one-year food supply, featuring the best variety in the business. Foods that will store 7 to 15 years or longer, unopened. Go to internet-grocer.net. That's internet-grocer.net or call 903-356-6443.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
I like the line here from Ordino that says the right to keep and bear arms has always been the distinctive privilege of free men. Any comment on what Ray was saying, Edwin?
Well, from a practical point of view, from a theoretical point of view, obviously what he's saying makes a great deal of sense. You can go back in political philosophy and find support for it all the way back to the time of some of the ancient Greeks. But the practical situation today is that your local and state jurisdictions, and Congress for that matter, simply don't pay attention to those basic principles, and they have to be brought to heel by things like the First Amendment or the Second Amendment or the Fourth Amendment or whatever. That we have to come to grips with these problems in a little more direct fashion. So I don't think this opinion is moot at all. I think it's going to have some terrific effects because the pro-gun people are certainly going to use it to attack statutes and regulations that are out there right now. And they will be on the offensive in the near future with this because there are so many statutes that have effects similar to what's in D.C. and in New York, Chicago, San Francisco. You can think of some of these big cities as obvious targets. And then on the other side, the anti-gun people, the disarmament people, the police state people, if you will, to be realistic about them, they are going to be working night and day to figure out ways to undermine and circumvent and in some way or other defang this decision until they can get a change of personnel on the Supreme Court and maybe get it reversed or at least limited in some way. So this battle, the decision is not a moot issue and the battle is not over. I'm only disappointed that it wasn't decided on the militia question, because if it had been decided on the militia question, then I think it would have been over. See, what's going to happen if you get a liberal majority, a Ginsburg-Breyer majority on the Supreme Court, they're going to come back and say, no, it's not an individual right, it's a quote-unquote militia right, and that's the National Guard or whatever.
Or a collective right.
That'll be their attack.
Yeah.
But if this case had been decided on the point that the individual right and the militia right are really the same right, because it's this totality of the citizenry being armed that is the militia, that would have undermined forever the possibility of reversal. Because when the others come back and say, well, it's a militia right, they say, well, we already said that in the Heller case. Right?
Yeah, and this
and the militia right is everybody has a gun, right? So we can't even have gun control that you're talking about. So they left open this unfortunate area, the Scalia opinion, have left open this, unfortunately, has left open this area for some kinds of regulation and perhaps for a re-attack on this whole issue by the gun control people if they can gain some kind of change in composition in that court.
And I would say by looking at those points and separating those out rather than taking in its total, this is a trap, in my estimation, that's been set.
Well, it could be. I don't know if they have enough intelligence to actually set a trap. But I think it's unfortunate that it was argued and decided this way. And that's more or less of a historical anomaly. I mean, this individual rights theory is one that came up among a group of academics and other thinkers who really didn't want to come to grips with the militia question, because in the 1960s, if you recall, these militia groups started appearing, and they were engaged in many instances in advocacy of violence and all sorts of other disreputable activity. So that terminology ended up being rather blackened in the media. So the individual rights argument was a way to evade having to deal with this unfortunate political reality.
Well, and I can see one sure cure to this, that they're not going to run out of people that are going to be chiefs of police or be on city councils. We've got to take these things back for ourselves, because
that's right.
This specter is going to keep coming back and haunting us, not only on the gun issue, but every other issue on restriction of movement, freedom, liberty. It's just going to keep going on and on. Edwin, I appreciate you coming on the program today. We did this on very short notice, sir, and you've been very gracious. By the way, we're got 15 seconds. Where do you teach at?
I don't anymore, but you can take a look at newswithviews.com, of all places. Just had an ad. Look up my name on the contributor list, and you'll find a lot of material there, a lot of commentaries dealing with this militia Second Amendment. We're going to keep bare arms issue.
We cross promote between the two, folks. News with Views. Edwin Vieira, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Alrighty. All right. Folks, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back up to wrap up this week's program tomorrow with another edition of the National Intel Report.